Keen's turn. Part 1. Descent and Deprivation. Written and read by Melina Blanc. Saturday morning. Wash your face. Eat your breakfast. Prepare for your deathmatch. This is the rest of Chapter 3. Look up for the plant. Straight after dragging himself out of bed and a quick breakfast, Jared headed for Gowanus. He'd skimmed most of the sections on demons in Judy's books before bed, but had found little more use in them. And so his pack was stocked with the same hunting supplies as last time, minus the crosses lost in the alley, plus a flashlight and an old map of the burrow so he could find his way right to the canal. From the canal, it didn't take him long to locate the building the vampire had described. Bricks and broken windows. The names and advice of local artists and vagabonds stretched up the sides and hung down over the roof, competing with the spread of ivy. His progress was unimpeded by fences, and he slunk around the side, away from the street, trying to look as nonchalant as possible, finding himself in an overgrown lot behind the power station. Cracked asphalt formed around spurts of thirsty plant life like freshly cooled lava. He approached the building, feeling uncomfortably exposed, trespassing out in the open in the bright of day, but there was no one in sight, and he made it to the back entrance, where a row of large doors, perhaps once loading docks, were blocked by sliding metal gates. One of these gates was not quite all the way down, and he got on the ground and worked his way under, dragging his bag after him. It was cool and shady inside, a welcome relief from the heat of the day. He reached for his bag for the flashlight he had brought, but found he didn't need it yet. The partly bricked or boarded windows let in ample light, revealing a picture of decay. There was rubble everywhere, the walls and corroded support columns decorated in graffiti. The main room branched off into smaller ones, and a staircase was visible through a doorframe on the left. He set out, exploring the interior, working his way along the ground floor, picking through the side rooms, kicking aside pallets and debris in his search for traps. Not all the rooms had windows, and he scanned them with the flashlight. The emptiness of the place began to feel strange. The bricks were wallpapered in spray paint, but there were no other signs of life. No mattresses, no furniture, save some that lay overturned or broken up in heaps of garbage. No belongings of any kind. Whoever all had visited here, none had stayed. The second floor was much like the first, but with larger rooms lit by glassless windows descending into darkness in the far corners, the corrugated ceiling pressing down overhead. After a superficial investigation, he returned to the stairs to climb to the top. As his head cleared the stairwell, his breath caught. This floor was enormous, the entire span of the building lit in a ruinous glory. Two walls were dedicated to the words of previous interlopers here, black and white lettering exploding from the yellow brick canvas on vibrant splashes of blues and reds. The other two walls were daubed in text as well, but broken with lines of arched windows, only partially boarded over, though these were not the major source of light. That was the ceiling. The ceiling of the powerhouse was a skeleton of steel with swaths torn from the metal sheeting topping it, allowing the sun to spill through. It was lined with panels, perhaps once used for sound dampening, back when this desolate space housed engines and dynamos. The panels were made of some yellow-beige material or fabric, and shaped like human teeth, stitched up alongside each other in rows. Many of them were broken or put out entirely, some rotten with splotches of black mold, one of them fully black, with strips hanging down, and all reflected in the shivering pool beneath the gouged roof. Ringing the walls was a catwalk, and again, above the panels, another was just visible between the crisscrossing beams. This story alone contained three. There was something about it all that filled him with awe. A beauty in it, in this ravaged frame, abandoned but still standing, still alive. He gave the floor a brief scouting, finding his way up the catwalks and onto the roof, which was mostly bare and afforded nothing more interesting than a view of the city. Sitting in the stairwell, he broke out the lunch he had packed the previous night and a book. It was the least promising of Judy's loans, with the shortest sections on monsters, so he had saved it for last, and not having made it over it last night, he had another go now, resting his feet and eating mindlessly. Dybbix. Despite the subject matter, the tone was dry and academic, like those many high school textbooks that had always put him right under. The food, the heat, and his exertions thus far piled on the uneasy rest of the night before, and his eyes slid over the same words, blinking, trying to make sense of them as they expanded and bloomed into new meanings and fantastic imagery. He became distantly aware, while tracing the letters, that his eyes were closed, and opened them again.
Cleavage of an evil spirit, which haven't been denuded yet impotent in the affair of transmigration, excited an illicit impregnation. What?
He tried again, the letters leaking down the page into the abyss.
The Dybbix, or cleavage of an evil spirit, having denoodled yet the ifrit transmigrated an icicle in.
Jared sat up with a start. The light had changed.
What? Shit.
He checked his watch. 1 hour till sunset.
Idiot! Gotta hurry!
He'd meant to use the remaining time for a more thorough exploration of the grounds, but now, keeping an eye on his watch, he divided it into a hasty revisiting of each floor. As the sun sank lower in the sky, something was becoming increasingly worrisome to him. It was going to be dark in this lonely space, the walls of windows notwithstanding. Rubble-strewn floors represented a continual trip hazard, although at least they seemed unlikely to give way. What exactly was his game plan?
I'll figure it out as I go. Faith in myself.
With no plan?
Fucking idiot! What am I doing?
He racked his brains.
I just have to corner the vampire. I use the seal to get the advantage and get a stake in the heart. Done. What could possibly go wrong? Shut the hell up.
As the light began to fade, he retreated to the better-lit top floor of the building, with its perforated ceiling, toothy panels, and rows of half-boarded windows. He kicked out more of the plywood, letting in more ambient light. He started pacing. Should he hide? Spring out on the vampire? No. How would he know when it came? Where it was? He needed a vantage point. Jared made his way back to the roof and paced the perimeter, then checked himself and got into a crouch, keeping behind the part of the brick facade that jutted above the edge of the building, blocking the sheer drop. His eyes darted along the flow of traffic, catching on and scrutinizing any passers-by. Did the vampire have a car? Would it come from a building nearby? Or a cemetery? Did it have a nest? Did it live near here? A movement in his peripheral vision drew his eye. Approaching the lot along the canal, an ungainly shadow shifting along. Too big for one person?
Shit.
Two forms in one. A moving figure bearing a motionless one, making for the building. Heart in his mouth, Jared ran for the stairs. He picked his way down the flights as quickly and quietly as he could, crouching and peering into the murky stairwell to the ground floor, then sneaking down it, back to the wall, and edging around the doorframe to catch a glimpse of the main room. It appeared to be empty. Nothing moved in the gloom. He crept into the open, nearing the entrance he had come in by. A movement arrested his gaze. A shadow flicking past outside a punched-out panel of a boarded window. He tiptoed to the hole and peeked out. A hooded figure was pacing the overgrown lot. The vampire. On a cell phone.
"You'll be a double,"
it was saying. A pause.
"This isn't sloppy. This is clean up."
A pause.
"It was a tabloid. They'll be running a story on mutated infants next. What of it?"
A pause.
"The Good Samaritan. Thanks be to you, he won't be a problem."
Jared felt a chill sidle down his spine. He had gotten the sudden impression that the monster was looking straight at him.
"If you'll excuse me, Angel."
The vampire flipped the phone shut and made for the building. Jared backed into the center of the room. There was a noise of grinding metal, and the middle sliding door rolled up, silhouetting the figure in the entranceway.
"Well, well,"
it murmured, dusting off its hands.
"Mr. Curious, you have got spine."
"Right back at you, vampire."
The creature regarded him sidelong.
"Could you not call me vampire?"
"Why not? It's what you are, isn't it?"
"Well, you're a human, but I don't address you as such, do I? I have a name, you know."
"Yeah? And what's that?"
"Keen. Christian Keen."
Jared almost choked.
Your name is Christian?"
"Yes."
"Are you shitting me?"
"No."
"Christian the vampire?"
"You know, I have heard that observed before."
"You can't be called Christian!"
"It was the name my mother gave me. I'm not going to change it based on religious objections."
"Well, I don't object religiously."
"And what's your name?"
"Jared,"
Jared said, promptly kicking himself.
"Jared."
His nose wrinkled.
"That's a bit jarring, isn't it? How about Red?"
"Are you giving me a fucking nickname?"
The vampire raised his brows.
"Well, you've been calling me vampire, so I think I can do you one better. And Red,"
he added, his smile darkening,
"is much in the same vein."
"You're bloody hilarious, you are."
"Oh, I can't hold a candle to you. Give me another."
Jared shrugged and gave him another candle.
"I'd rather let this taper off than wax poetic."
"Oh, you see, I'm no match."
Wicked as you are, you're not up to snuff.
The vampire let out a hearty laugh.
You are precious.
It's almost a shame to have to kill you.
You could not.
But alas, I must. Secrets to keep and all that. Nothing personal.
He started forward, and Jared tensed, moving sideways to get a better view of him and pulling the seal from his pants pocket.
Good Lord, not that again. No new tricks.
Without the light from outside, directly behind him, his features came into clearer focus. Human eyes and a casual sneer. He was clad in a full suit with a dark tie, the hooded coat on over top.
What, were you buried in that? You always dress that way for deathmatch.
The vampire grinned.
I'm not dressed for you, but it's a fair point.
He shrugged off the coat and unbuttoned the jacket, removing it and folding both before stepping back outside to deposit them. He reappeared a few moments later.
There. Dressed to kill. And what about you? Is that what you want to die in?
Die in? You're better suited.
The vampire grinned wider and, without warning, darted sideways, melting into the dark.
Shit.
Jared fumbled in his bag for the flashlight, clicking it on and slicing through the shadows surrounding him. The room was empty. Silence pressed in around him, amplifying the hammering of his heart. He took a step. A noise from the darkness behind. He whirled, flashlight beam at the ready, a brick wall. He swung back around, breathing hard. Another noise. He illuminated a doorframe. The beam cut a dusty shaft to a vacant corner. Mocking laughter lifted from the dark, echoing, rising eerily, impossible to pinpoint. Now growing farther away, higher, the stairwell. He made for it, the seal held out before him. A figure flashed from sight at the top as he reached the foot of the stairs and jogged up them, then up the next flight to the vast expanse of the top floor. The vampire stood a few yards distant, leering at him.
You done running, or you gonna take another flight?
Well, for a stair down, downstairs isn't such a dramatic arena. Do you know, this space used to power the trolley system.
It's an interesting story. It'll floor you.
Not bad, he allowed. Then, my turn.
Without decorum, the vampire rushed at him, and Jared raised the talisman, feeling a swell of strength, bringing the other up short and forcing him back. The monster hissed as he retreated, skin blanching, the humanity dislodging from his face, but his downcast eyes, avoiding the scroll, remained calm, retaining their whites, as he walked around him, tracing out a circle of influence.
But you had that in your pocket when I beat you down before, he mused. What's changed?
Never seen anything like it before, have you?
Obviously.
The vampire growled, the semblance of human life restoring to his features.
But you've obviously never seen aught like me before, either. No. No, you're nothing but a frightened boy with delusions of heroism who just happened to hit on a couple of magical trinkets.
Jared tightened his grip on the seal as a wicked grin spread across the monster's face.
Let's test the limits, shall we? He murmured. Of the power of the Lord.
He spread his arms wide, inviting attack, and without a moment's thought, Jared started toward him. But he'd not gone a few paces when the vampire tensed and leaped improbably high, catching hold of a loose strip of material dangling from the ceiling. Then down he came, the strip in tow, and something else moved above them. Jared looked up, swinging the flashlight beam to illuminate the ceiling panel just above him, the black one planted there among the others, which it was quite unlike in all but its shape. And the panel was falling, torn free of the gums, and he suddenly felt that its shape was not so much like a front tooth as like a tombstone. It unfurled as it fell, weighted edges causing it to yawn open, filling his field of vision on approach, swallowing the light of his flashlight, and then swallowing him. The heavy fabric knocked him off balance just as something plowed into his side, bowling him over, and he hit the concrete floor, the panel cushioning his fall but enfolding his arms and legs. Blinded, Jared thrashed in the wrapping, the flashlight and seal slipping from his fingers as he struggled to extricate himself. Something struck his stomach and he curled around it, his sharp intake of breath drawing hard at stale air. Another blow glanced off his head, and stars exploded into the darkness engulfing him. As he slumped onto his back, gasping, a pressure started at his neck. Not a squeezing pressure, but flat and hard. And it pressed down. Hello. Want a word in the world of Keenstern? Did you know that the transcripts are ahead of the podcast? That means that for a limited time, comments left on them can influence the story, though comments aren't always appreciated. And they're easy to leave on the platform. Find the link in the episode description. I hope to tell you tales again soon.